God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God promised land to Abraham, a nation. And interestingly, God said, as he was promising Abraham that he would make of him a great nation, he said, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Hi, Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be on the American Family Radio Network with you today. We've got a great show and a guest that I want you to meet in just a moment. Later on in the program, we will take phone calls, and the number is 888-589-8840. A lot of things in the news, and I'm sure, like many people, you've heard the news about the passing of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Certainly, our thoughts and prayers are with former President Jimmy Carter. You know, it's funny, not funny, but it's ironic. Several months ago, they were very certain that former President Carter was at the point of death, but his wife has preceded him in death, and our prayers are with that family. Also, praying about Iceland. I don't know if you've been following in the news the Icelandic volcano that they say it's very close to erupting, and it could be very, very devastating. And so we certainly are praying for the people in that regard. But there's an article in the news, and it's sadly timely in light of the guest that I want you to meet. In Worcester, Massachusetts, a Starbucks has been vandalized with a lot of anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian graffiti, and it is being ruled a hate crime. And that reminds me that in May of this year, and of course this is, you know, months before the October 7 Hamas attack on Israel, but it was documented that anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. were up 36%. And in fact, since the Anti-Defamation League had been recording data since 1979. Really, 2022 and 2023 were shaping up to have the highest number of anti-Semitic incidents recorded in 45 years. Very concerning, and certainly the Hamas attacks and the conflict there in Israel has really brought this to the news on a daily basis. And with that being said, to give us some insight and to help us, you know, really understand why this is troubling and why this is very important to talk about, E.J. Kimball, he is the director of Interfaith Outreach and Engagement for an organization that I learned of probably a couple of years ago. I really appreciate this organization. I believe in them. I think they're doing a good work, and they're helping a lot of people be informed. It's Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, sometimes just known as CAM. Their website is combatantisemitism.org. And from that organization, E.J. Kimball is with us now. Mr. Kimball, thanks for holding, and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Well, it's good to be on with you, Alex, and good to reconnect with you, and thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for making time. You know, you and I spoke, I guess, last week about, you know, scheduling some airtime this week, and sure enough, over the weekend, there are more reports of violence and rhetoric against the Jewish people and against the state of Israel. Why? And I want to get into that. Before we do, and we'll circle back to this, tell us about Combat Anti-Semitism, and then I want to get your insights on this, these troubling wave after wave of racism against the Jewish people. But tell us about your organization, if you would, EJ.
Sure. The organization, the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, or CAM, as you mentioned, was founded in early 2019 with the goal to be different than other organizations that had been fighting for years to combat anti-Semitism, quite frankly, because clearly the issue of anti-Semitism has not gone away. And as you were mentioning at the opening, there's been an increase in anti-Semitism. So as an organization, we sought to bring a different dynamic to the arena to fight the world's oldest hatred. So as a movement, we are a coalition of organizations that have come together that obviously share the goal of ending the world's oldest hatred, to end Jew hatred. And we've done that in multiple ways, but most importantly, what we did not want to do was recreate what others were doing. Instead, we want to amplify what people are doing that's working. We want to connect organizations that may not know of each other to, again, help amplify the work. And where there are gaps, we want to fill it. And what I want to really point out, the most important recent development was an event that we just had last week in Fort Lauderdale. It was our third North American Mayor Summit. This was the third Mayor Summit that we've done. The previous two have been global, but it's grown so much that we actually split it up. Next week, we have a Mayor Summit in Germany for European mayors. Last week was in Fort Lauderdale with mayors from all across the United States, not just to hear about anti-Semitism, but actually to work together for concrete action steps that they can take at the local level, because ultimately anti-Semitism is an issue that needs to be solved at the local level.
Yes, well, that's exciting. And has the response been positive when you reach out to mayors and city leaders? Have they been open to you?
Absolutely. This was a bipartisan gathering of mayors. I mean, we're talking about from very far progressives to very far conservatives and everyone in between that share the understanding that anti-Semitism is an evil scourge on society that doesn't end with Jews. It begins with Jews. And so it's encouraging to see people from totally different walks of life coming together to fight against this common evil that threatens all of us.
What about the status of the United Kingdom right now? I mean, there's been such an influx of Muslims throughout the UK and the rise of Islam, and I know there have been marches it's unthinkable, really, but implement Sharia law in parts of Britain. How is the state of, getting leaders to be on record as standing against anti-Semitism? How is that going in England?
It's starting. It's starting more, and that's part of why we're doing the Mayor Summit in Europe as well, which these are issues that, whether it's in Europe or in the United States, have for years been downplayed. No one wants to really talk about it. No one wants to address it. And it's always been conflated with the Palestinian cause for statehood or for freedom from occupation. Those are all the terms that would be used to excuse what was unadulterated Jew hatred. And what happened on October 7th with this Hamas atrocity, barbarity, that you can't even come up with enough words to describe how horrific that attack was, it has nothing to do with a position that some have that there needs to be a Palestinian state or that the Palestinian people need more freedoms. This has nothing to do with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. This has to do with good versus evil. And that's what's come out of this, is those that are on the streets supporting what Hamas did, that has nothing to do with the rights of Palestinian people. This has everything to do with hatred and barbarity. And those that ascribe to this ideal have shown their cards. And the world now, in Europe, in the United States, now have to deal with it because there is no turning back.
Right. And none of us knows the heart of another person, or the esoteric thought processes of another person. But the word you use, the barbarity of the actions, since October 7, and then just what has been, uncovered in the news. I can't begin, regardless of someone's political persuasion, like you say, far right, far progressive, I just can't begin to understand how a thinking adult could not condemn what we've seen the Hamas terrorists do, yes, go ahead.
Well, you're 100% right. This is so simple. These aren't hard things to do. I mean, we've seen it in the U.S. Congress, where there was a resolution to condemn the atrocities in the House of Representatives, to condemn the atrocities of October 7th. And you had, I think, about 10 members of Congress vote against it. It had nothing to do with the rights of the Palestinians, where there was any sort of excuse that you could give, even if I would say disagree with your position. There was no excuse for this. This would be like supporting Al-Qaeda on 9/11.
This is not ambiguous or vague.
No, the attack by Hamas wasn't just that they carried out this gruesome attack and the barbarity in what they did and the torture, the rapes, the mutilations. They also broadcast this. They are proud of what they did. They were proud of what they were doing. The audio recordings of Hamas. I mean, one of the differences, you see a Hamas jihadist who calls his parents to brag about how he just killed 10 Jews. Meanwhile, on the other hand, you have Jews calling their parents saying that they're trying to save others. That's the difference in the mentality that we're dealing with here. And, it even continues today, and I'm sure we'll get to this in greater detail, but there was just the recording that the Israeli Defense Forces put out yesterday showing this hospital in northern Gaza that Israel has said very clearly, and the American intelligence agencies have said, is a command center for Hamas. So what's Israel discovered there? They've discovered a huge tunnel underneath, which they are now starting to explore. They also have surveillance video of hostages being brought in through the front door, not being taken in through a tunnel underground, literally through the front door, being brought into a hospital. Now, these are supposed to be hospitals, not terrorist command centers. And the moment that those hostages are taken in by Hamas, who are clearly using the hospital as a base of operations, under the rules of war, that hospital is no longer a civilian entity. That becomes a legitimate war target. And just to show how humane Israel is, they would have every right to bomb that hospital under the laws of armed conflict. It is a legitimate military target, yet they are willing to sacrifice their own people to cause as little civilian death as possible.
Wow.
But yet, the world wants to look at Israel and complain that Israel's not doing enough to minimize civilian casualties, when it's Hamas that's putting all of these civilians in harm's way and is responsible for every single civilian death.
To reflect badly on Israel as they defend themselves. We've got on the line E.J. Kimball of the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. Their website, CombatAntiSemitism, spelled just like it sounds, .org. CombatAntiSemitism.org. Stay tuned. We're going to continue with E.J. Kimball talking about this as he said, the world's oldest hatred, unfortunately, anti-Semitism. Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. Stay tuned. We're back after this brief break. Don't go away.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Matthew Solomson argues that social justice is injustice. His op-ed attempts to explain why we see so many young people supporting the terrorist actions of Hamas. They've been taught in school an inverted view of justice. He reminds us that when federal judges take the oath of office, they say, "I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the poor and to the rich." This is a biblical principle that is part of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Justice isn't about power. The person with great power could be a good or bad person depending on their actions. Likewise, a person with little power could also be good or bad depending on the circumstances. But that simple equation and evaluation has been changed in the minds of younger generation. Those in power are oppressors. Those without power are victims. Does Israel have the right to fight against terrorists who commit atrocities? This involves a moral calculus. You must evaluate who acts virtuously and who acts viciously. He admits that no country is virtuous all the time. Israel seeks peace and in war doesn't specifically target civilians. Israel holds no kidnapped babies, nor does it steal billions of dollars of foreign aid. It is time to speak plainly. Murdering innocent people is wrong. Supporting them and cheering them on is also wrong. There is no justification for the atrocities that were committed last month against innocent Jewish citizens. An ideological approach to ethics that sees people as groups, tribes, and classes can blur the natural human reaction to evil, and that is why we see students attempting to justify what is unjustifiable. It fills the world with injustice. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
Do you remember the song Count Your Blessings? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Some days, challenges and problems bombard us to the point where we forget just how blessed we really are. Even if our lives are going well, the world around us is driven by sin, which is why we need to intentionally count our blessings. That helps us focus on the one who's in control and enables us to fulfill Ephesians 5:20. If giving thanks is a struggle for you, or if you just want to be reminded of what we have to be thankful for, you need to read Matthew White's article, Give Thanks. It's in the November print edition of The Stand, and it can become a great tool to help refocus our attention on God and be thankful. We should do that every day, not just once a year. If you don't already subscribe to The Stand, stop by afa.net/thestand and sign up for a 6-month free trial. That's afa.net/thestand.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here, our guest E.J. Kimball of the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. Before we rejoin our conversation with E.J. Kimball, I do want to remind people of our book. Bert Harper and I have our second book out of 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families, published by Broad Street, and it is carried in the AFA store. And I was on the road this week and speaking outside of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. There were some church groups that had driven a couple of hours to come, and I really appreciate that. And I had a book signing in Raleigh, North Carolina. A great crowd came out for that, and I appreciate the support. If you haven't seen it, check out 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. You know, EJ, it's interesting. I was doing some promotion for the book on Friday, October 6th, and we had radio listeners ask us questions about Israel and Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Psalm 83 that speak about nations of the Arabian Peninsula attacking Israel. And it was just ironic on Friday, October 6th, we were cutting some videos, and then we woke up Saturday morning, October 7th, and what we were speaking of, was in process. And so it's unfortunate. And I want to talk about acts of, animus against the Jewish people in America and the West. But here's the thing, that the many they don't, not only do they not have the wherewithal to condemn the actions of the Hamas terrorist, but that they just, there's this tacit unwillingness to recognize Israel's right to exist. Does your movement address that, that, you know, so many, not only just at the street level, but elected officials, academics, the state of Israel, they don't recognize their right to self-defense or their right to even exist?
Yes, and Alex, that goes back to my point from the beginning that this is the world's oldest hatred. And it's important to recognize that historically, Jews were discriminated against and blamed for the ills of society in which they lived. It was always the Jews who live amongst us are the problem. When the modern state of Israel was established, you know, the reestablishment of Israel in 1948,
right,
the Jew living amongst us became the Jewish state living amongst the nations of the world. And that anti-Semitism started to manifest differently in blaming the state of Israel, the Jewish state, for the world's problems. And it was just a way of masking anti-Semitism for those that would hide behind the moniker that they're not anti-Semitic, that they're anti-Zionist, that they don't hate Jews. It's the policies of the Jewish state that they disagree with. And the way that we fight that is by encouraging the adoption of a specific definition of anti-Semitism. It's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance working definition of anti-Semitism. And you can look it up at holocaustremembrance.com. And what is important about this definition, aside from the actual sentence, is it has a list of examples to help guide those to understand whether or not something may be anti-Semitic. And a lot of these have to do with this distinction between anti-Semitism, which easier to just call it Jew hatred, and what others call anti-Zionism, which is against this modern movement to reestablish the Jewish state that started in the late 19th century. And all anti-Zionism, now there are legitimate reasons to criticize the state of Israel. Israelis, obviously, just like here in America, very divided on a lot of policy issues. Mm-hmm. But when you cross the line and hold Israel to a double standard that no other country in the world is being held to, you're discriminating against them. And that shows you an example of where anti-Zionism is nothing more than anti-Semitism.
Yeah. I mean, critical analysis of the policies of any nation or, you know, cabinet, that goes on all the time. Just honest discussion about policies and even spirited disagreement. But no, I've heard it, EJ, in my travels over the last 25 years to speak on 200 American college campuses. I mean, I've heard it from students, from faculty. There's just this really, it's inexplicable, really, this animosity toward Jewish people in general, and of course, the state of Israel. It's interesting. I want to ask you this because we, in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, about 3 weeks ago, there were probably 400 people that came out to stand up very peaceably, very respectfully, holding up, you know, Bible verses like Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And 99.99% of all the people gave a big thumbs up and a smile, you know. Even two different police cars went by and blew their horn and gave a big thumbs up. Jews, Christians, standing for Israel. You know, we stand with Israel. There were a group of college students, and nearby is a university where I went for my undergrad in the late 80s. And, you know, the students, not surprisingly, were very pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, anti-Israel. And, you know, we were talking, and I know you've heard this argument, I'm sure, but so many young progressives, they stand with, you know, indigenous peoples. And I pointed out, I said, well, look, if you're going to talk about standing for indigenous people groups, like, you know, in Canada, they don't really have Canada Day so much anymore, but they have Indigenous Peoples Day. And I said, my goodness, you know, the Jewish people were in the land of Israel for three millennia before the birth of Muhammad and the start of Islam. Muhammad born in 571, Islam starting in 610 AD, and Jewish people had been in their land. So why, when there's this just ubiquitous support for indigenous people and, you know, this hostility toward squatters and colonizers, the most indigenous people group in the world would be the Jewish people in relation to the land of Israel. But, you know, they didn't really have an answer for that. Is that a good discussion point to speak about, EJ? Is that a fair way to phrase it when trying to converse with people?
It is. And I think what you're doing is great, and these are the sorts of conversations that need to occur. Now, I'm also of the mindset that you will not be able to convince everyone, and there are some people who it would be a waste of your breath to try to convince. However, there are those that are just terribly misinformed.
Correct.
They are ignorant of the facts, ignorant of world history, and they've been fed a diet of lies that appeal to them emotionally. And so when they're presented with facts in a way like you described, it may actually get them to understand that they've been lied to. And this is something that's actually happening. We're seeing this in America, specifically a lot of very liberal Jews. I wouldn't say the college age. I would say older, you know, maybe late 20s to, you know, go up the scale in years. For years, American Jews have said, we need to stand with minority groups because if, God forbid, a Holocaust were ever to happen again, we would want these minorities to stand with us. So we are going to stand up and fight for civil rights. We are going to fight. We're going to march with the Black Lives Matter movement. We are going to march against anti-Asian hate during the pandemic. We're going to march with all of these groups because if the roles were reversed, they'll be there to march with us. And what they have seen is they're not there.
Yeah.
And in some ways, and this has even happened in Israel with how divisive that country was, the one on the downside, what Jews have seen around the world, and with some exceptions, obviously, with our Christian friends, yeah, and some others, we have to be dependent upon ourselves. You never want to be dependent upon others for your security. And that was the biggest lesson of the Holocaust for Jews. If you can't take care of yourself, you can't trust that the world will be there for you. Mm-hmm. And Jews have come together around this and reevaluating who their real friends are. And this is a very important time. And this story isn't told yet. This is developing right now as to where friends of the Jewish people are and really where friends are, like-minded people for Western ideals. And, well, and understanding this battle of good versus evil, this is something that is now coming to the forefront that a lot of people who never would have had these conversations are now actually talking about.
Yeah, this is vital to talk about. And folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here. We're talking with E.J. Kimball of the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, Director of Interfaith Outreach and Engagement, and the website is combatantisemitism.org. EJ, let me ask you this. It might be a conversation that is long, long overdue, but in Jewish people beginning to see who their friends are and where the friends are and the people that love the Jewish nation, and we love Jewish people. What are the political implications for this? Do you feel like there's going to be sort of a reshuffling of the deck in terms of how American Jews vote?
Well, I don't know if we'll see that right away, but because what we are seeing is the current administration, the Biden administration, has been very supportive of Israel's not just right, but obligation to eliminate Hamas, to eradicate them. However, within the Democratic Party, this fringe element that has been festering for years is not so much a fringe element. I wouldn't say that it's a majority, but it's not just a fringe element. And we're seeing this sort of, it's not quite a civil war yet within the Democratic Party over their Israel policy, but it's getting there. We're seeing protests last week. Let me put it in perspective. Last Tuesday, I was at the march in Washington for Israel. Nearly 300,000 people there.
Wow.
It was peaceful. You had American flags waving. You had Israeli flags waving. You had Senator John Fetterman on one end. You have Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. You have Majority
Chuck
Leader
Schumer was there.
Chuck Schumer. Yeah, you've got the spectrum covered. Politically, you have this huge gathering. There's no graffiti. There's no violence. Nothing. Meanwhile, you have just the other day outside the Democratic National Committee, you have a group of thugs, to put it mildly, protesting out there with Democratic members of Congress being told and forced to stay inside because of the violence that was happening right outside the doors there. You had police
right
there trying to stop them. What were they calling for? They're calling for a ceasefire. Well, if you're calling for a ceasefire, you shouldn't be getting violent. You know, they're covered. They've got masks on. Why? Because they want to hide who they are. Because, you know, they're ashamed of who they are, or they're afraid for people to know who they are. And this is a movement. This is sort of a reckoning happening within the Democratic Party over the future identity. I wouldn't say we'll see any major change in the next year, but this is something that I think will be determinative in the future about where the party stands with this movement of those that are not just anti-Israel. They're anti-American, and they're anti-freedom, and they are anti-humanity. You know, these are people who support barbarism, and that is not progressive. That's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So let me ask you this. You know, concerned Americans, and especially evangelical Christians, what can they do to show support for Israel and for the Jewish people?
Well, number one, to start off, continue to pray for Israel and for the Jewish people. Prayer is very important. It makes a difference. I know I don't need to tell you that, and don't need to tell your audience that, but it is very important to continue to pray for Israel and the Jewish people. Israel's got a lot of needs. Now, there's military needs, which the U.S. Congress hopefully will provide Israel with the emergency supplemental bill that will provide them with the munitions that they need in the physical war. But the mental side of this, the trauma that Israelis have gone through cannot even begin to be understood. If you've seen the videos of the atrocities that were carried out, then maybe you can begin to understand it. But this is going to be a mental health crisis in Israel for years, and they are going to need a lot of help there. And
sure,
I do know that there's organizations that are raising funds to help this. We have a fund at Combat Anti-Semitism Movement. If you go to the website, you'll see a link there to help support. And we're giving to different organizations that are helping Israel. And also to tell your political leaders, to go to your local leaders and make sure that it's not just about supporting Israel and protecting the Jewish people in America. But it's making sure that that intimidation that the other side is
hey, we've almost got a break. EJ,
not allowed.
Forgive me. God bless you, my dear friend. We'll speak again soon, I hope. CombatAntisemitism.org. EJ Kimball, thank you.
The loss of a child through an abortion affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming, but there is hope and healing in the aftermath. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
My name is Anne, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Scripture shows Jesus took time to get away from the crowds and find solitude. Society today is even busier and more chaotic. How much more do we need to find a place to get away and spend time with our Heavenly Father? AFA believes in following the example Jesus set, which is why we hope you'll join us April 3rd through the 6th, 2024, for the AFA Retreat. And Purcell Farms in Sylacauga, Alabama is the perfect setting to relax and experience unrivaled Southern hospitality. Stay in the three-story inn, where you get panoramic views of the foothills, enjoy your meals made with locally sourced farm and garden ingredients, and take advantage of the amenities Purcell Farms offers. Join other believers for worship and be encouraged with messages from Bishop E.W. Jackson, Rob West, Jenna Ellis, Walker Wildman, and more. If you want to find out more about the AFA Retreat, Purcell Farms, or if you're ready to get your tickets now, visit afaretreat.net.
Welcome back. Alex McFarland here. Happy early Thanksgiving. And I pray that you're all set for a very special week. And I hope you'll have time to just reflect. You know, one of my favorite people, Winston Churchill, said of Christmas, and I know we're not to Christmas yet, but he said, Christmas is a time for remembering and a time for reflecting. Churchill said that, and that's true. Thanksgiving is too. We have a lot to be thankful for. By the way, I'm going to give the number because I would like to hear from you. E.J. Kimball of Combat Anti-Semitism was our guest. He's gone at this point, but the website again, combatantisemitism.org. And by the way, if you want to call in, I've got a couple of news stories I would love your feedback on, folks. The number is 888-589-8840. Maybe you want to say what you're thankful for. But last week, I was on the phone with John Riley. He was at the event in Washington there at the mall, at all of the people there to stand for Israel. And there were elected officials on both sides of the aisle. There were some Hollywood celebrities. And there were John Riley estimated that he felt like it might be 200,000 people. I'm thrilled to hear that Mr. E.J. Kimball of Combat Antisemitism said that it was nearly 300,000 people there. And I've been to the mall in Washington several times, and that's a great crowd. That is very, very heartening that 200,000 to 300,000 people would be there. And again, did you catch what he said? This peaceable protest. You know, 250,000 people, no injuries, no violence, no graffiti, just people hearing some speeches, many people praying, standing for Israel. And then a demonstration of the pro-terrorists in front of the DNC last week. And it was such a dangerous thing. The cops had to come. People are injured. I mean, the fruits of the two respective camps tell the story. They really do. You know, when I have led a trip to Israel several years ago for a Focus on the Family, and the Kidron Valley, if you've been to Israel, you'll know exactly what I'm speaking about. But there is the old city that you've seen in photographs so often, with the stone walls around it, the Eastern Gate, the Temple Mount, the old city. And then really behind that, if you're, say you're in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Kidron Valley, and there's a small stream that goes through the middle of it. On the eastern side, you get into the more Palestinian side of things. And then there's the old city and the newer parts of Jerusalem. But here's my point. It looks, if you're looking east at the Muslim-occupied territory, I mean, it looks like a landfill. It just does. Looks like a garbage dump. And then you look toward the west, and you see the city of Jerusalem, and it's beautiful. I mean, it is legitimately beautiful. And you go out into the new part, there's flowers. It's just beautiful. And I was struck by the stark contrast of the two worlds because of two worldviews. Just like E.J. Kimball was telling us about, you know, Jewish citizens ministering to their own wounded, ministering to Palestinian wounded, whereas the surrounding Islamic nations will not even take the Gaza Palestinian refugees. Now, let me change gears. Another story. If you ever wondered, is America really, have we really lost our way? Well, there's a story breaking right now. Pennsylvania school district agrees to a $200,000 settlement. Now get this, with the Satanic Temple for an after-school Satan club. And this is in eastern Pennsylvania. There was a school district, Saucon Valley, S-A-U-C-O-N, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Saucon Valley School District has agreed to pay $200,000 in attorney's fees and provide the Satanic Temple and the after-school Satan club. I can't believe I'm saying this. Lord, help us, Jesus. The after-school Satan club to have access to the school facilities, just like, you know, there are other organizations, after-school groups. I've spoken for, supported things like, you know, the Good News Clubs of Child Evangelism Fellowship and Youth for Christ, things like that. Our organization has started youth clubs called Viral Truth Clubs, but the Satan groups, the Satanic Temple, isn't that something? I mean, Satan's getting bold, isn't he? He's on the move because I think he knows his time is short. Christ is coming back. But after they were apparently not given the full access they felt they deserved to poison the minds of children, they sued. And of course, guess who defended the Satanic Temple in Pennsylvania? Suing the Saucon Valley School District, supporting Satan and his minions, the ACLU. Surprise, surprise. No surprise at all, really. And so the school was sued, and the school will have to pay $200,000 to the Satanic Temple and their legal team for their fight to have access to the hearts and minds and souls of children. Now, I would encourage you, don't go to their website. It's horrid. But let me tell you, they are all about proselytizing and impressionable young people. So, folks, if you love America, you love God and country. I do. We do at AFA. Be in prayer and be informed and respectfully, but you know, consistently stand for truth and influence others. You can be an influence. Our nation needs a move of God at this time. And what better time than Thanksgiving to seek God, to thank God, and to implore His protection. Hey, what are you thankful for this week, folks? The number, if you want to call in, it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. The ACLU, I'm sure they're very proud for defending Satan and Satan's representatives trying to get into the schools. God help us. God help us. Well, on a different note, let me say this. More and more people, I was reading a statistic this morning, that more and more people feel like we need a return to, they might say, God, church, religion, faith. Yeah, we need that. And people are seeing that. The question is, and I hope that the answer is going to be positive, that it's not just some amorphous faith, but it's Jesus Christ. It's the faith that made America great, as I'm sure you're aware of. And so, listen, use this time, if your church is having like a Thanksgiving service or something like that, invite people. Do you know, I've got a statistic from Lifeway, and it's about 2 years old, but I would still think it's pretty relevant. You know, 2021 wasn't that long ago. But of the 20-somethings, and the millennials are getting some age on them now, you know, but for years people have talked about millennials. But basically, 18 to 30, 2 years ago, 86% agreed with this. Now get this, brace yourself, this is awesome. 86% that had no church background whatsoever were saying that I would consider going to a worship service if someone invited me. Isn't that something? That's, you know, almost 9 out of 10 were saying, yeah, if somebody invited me to church, I would consider going. Also, 86% affirmed this statement, and actually this was a little bit more, about 87% were saying that I would like to have an honest discussion about faith and religion, even if we disagreed. Isn't that something? 87% saying, I would like to have an honest discussion about religious issues, even if we disagreed. So people are hungry. They really are. People are saying, okay, let's talk. Use this, leverage Thanksgiving and Christmas. Invite somebody to church because there's about an 86% chance they'll say, sure, I'll go with you. Well, we're going to go to Georgia. Stella, what a lovely name. Stella, yes, thanks sir. For holding. Thank Welcome.
You. Thank you very much.
Yes.
It's first time listening, first time calling. I'd like to say thank you. I'm grateful for you, the feeling, the warmth that you give us for this wonderful presentation. I've listened this whole hour. I'm a truck driver, and I never get good stations, and I just happened to land on this station, and I just want to say thank you. I also want to say I'm grateful and thankful for my family, our help. I've got a 94-year-old World War II veteran that lives with me, that is still amen. Active. I just want to say thank you, Lord.
Well, amen. Well, thank you, Stella, for driving a truck. You know, everybody, we get a lot of calls from a lot of truckers. And I say to okay. people listening, if you have anything, clothes, food, the things you buy, the necessities of life, you can thank a truck driver because somebody delivered it, didn't they, Stella?
Yes, sir. Even if it's the trees, they get in your way and we're slow. But you wipe your hand on a piece of paper towel this morning, you may thank me.
Wow. Well, listen, I'm honored that you would be listening, very honored that you would call. And, hey, be safe out there and know that we're grateful,
thank
Stella.
You. Happy Thanks Thanksgiving very much. And happy and Merry Christmas to you. Be blessed.
And you too. God bless you.
Thank you.
Elijah in Kentucky. Thanks for holding and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you. Do you know how many Palestinian Christians are living in Gaza, sir, and nobody will mention them at all?
You know what? I was reading, and this is a good question. I was reading that they estimate that there are like 1,000 Palestinian Christians in Gaza. It's gone down in recent years. And, you know, let me just say, in standing with Israel and for Israel, it doesn't mean we're not standing with human beings and human life in general, and especially Christians in Gaza. But in the 17 years that Hamas has been in power, I think it has dropped off precipitously. Do you know any better data than that, Elijah?
Yes, they do have a few thousand Christians living there.
Yeah.
But nobody will mention them. Nobody will help them. I wonder why, sir.
Well, let me just say this. We will have a guest on tomorrow from one of the preeminent Christian relief ministries in the world. And I know that, frankly, at great personal danger over the last 30 days, there has been, on the part of a couple of Christian organizations, boots on the ground, literally boots on the ground to help Palestinian Christians over there. And we're going to hear from the leader of one of these ministries tomorrow. There, let me just say, I hear your concern and I appreciate it. I have heard some, you know, pretty classified information that I'm not at liberty to share on the radio. I will just say this, folks, tune in tomorrow and you'll get some insight on that. And Elijah, thank you for what is a good and relevant question. We're going to Louisiana. Now, is it really Alex from Louisiana?
Yes, is it Alex?
And I'm Alex, too. Well, welcome.
Are you Alex? Well,
I'm Alex.
I tuned into the radio and heard you talk, and I felt like calling when you asked for people to call in about what's thankful. Nice to meet you, Alex.
Good to meet you, my friend. Cool. I like your name.
It's a good one, right?
Right on, man.
Well,
God bless you.
I want to talk about what I'm thankful for, and if you excuse me, I'm gonna push back on you a little bit, but I'm doing it in a respectful way because I know that you're a respectful person and you're willing to hear it. I'm thankful for this country. I'm thankful for our Constitution because in our Constitution we have protections that are entrusted upon us, and you would say that they're given by God. I would believe that there are certain God-given rights. And one of that is separation of church and state. Now, I believe that completely means that all religions have a certain level of protections that they should be allowed. Everybody who practices any faith in this country absolutely deserves the right to be able to practice that without molestation from any outside forces. Unfortunately, that does mean that faiths that aren't easy for us to swallow. They're unfortunately able to be done. Do you hear me?
Hey, I hear that music. Would you call in? I want to continue this conversation, and I think we're probably more in agreement than you might realize. I'm so sorry, we're almost out of time, Alex, but here's the thing. Yes, I honestly believe that when there's the Equal Access Act of 1984, that schools, if a school is open to any group, any after-school group that is sanctioned, whether it be a Christian group, that does, by default, Muslim and even Satan groups can rent the building as well. But we'll talk about this more. Alex McFarland here. I'll be on the Hamilton Corner tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central. God bless you. Stay tuned to AFR, and thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.